Today on Real Radio.
There is something so nasty about our human nature that we grow up, and when we grow up, we get cynical and we get doubtful and we get critical, and we think that those are qualities. They're not qualities.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at chapter 18 in a well-known passage that tells of the Messiah asking the little children to come unto him. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation simply called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven?
But we need to change the way that we think about what's really important regarding how to get from here to heaven. Because Jesus, like always, is going to take this opportunity to deliver to us a gem of truth. And so in this Jewish tradition, the rabbi would pray for the children. I want you to mark this verse down. I wish that we could do some holy civil disobedience. And that would be take this verse, Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, and tag every school from zero to university right in front of the school. Shouldn't this not be what's on our schools? Check it out. Deuteronomy 4, 9. God told Moses. Moses tells the people that this is the way it ought to be. Only be careful and watch for yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Don't forget what God's done for you. Okay? Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Is that not an awesome verse? Can someone say amen? Yes. What a great verse that is. We should have that on every school. Teach these things to our kids and to our kids' kids. As I mentioned a moment ago, I love American history. I've been reading that book by Nathaniel Philbrick entitled Mayflower. There's a situation there where Massasoit, he's the chieftain of this particular tribe, and he's talking with the pilgrims, and they're becoming friends, and they're on a trail, and they're walking along. And as the pilgrims are following, they go along this trail, and they notice that there are these incredible cutout areas in the earth. They're like little pools, indentations. And there was things set up. And every time they would come to one, they would, Massasoit and his tribe would rearrange and clean and make right and make proper, put it all back together. And they would all talk to one another, and then they would be on their way. And Josiah Winslow asked Massasoit, what are you doing? And he said, oh, these are areas of historical events in our ancestry. And whenever we come by one, we teach to the next generation. We stop and say, look, you know what, right here, our tribe was nearly destroyed by this other tribe, and they came from that direction, but we prevailed, and this is a place here where we're so grateful and we're so thankful about prevailing and over our enemy. And they would teach that to the kids. And so every time you went by, the rule was to maintain it. And the pilgrims thought, that's pretty cool. We know something about that. Regardless of what you might think, you ought to read about the pilgrims. They were Puritans. They were separatists. The Bible was the big deal. That's why when you go to the Capitol Rotunda of the United States of America, you've got William Bradford leaning out there and putting the Bible out on Plymouth. The Bible goes first. They were serious about it. So how do you know? Would they take a picture? No, some guy drew it. He didn't have a cannon sure shot. He drew it. By the way, go to the Capitol. It's open to John 3:16. You can read it there. That's amazing stuff. And the pilgrim said, yeah, we do the same thing. And I think about this today, and I think about how much we have forgotten about the great things that have happened throughout the history of man, for one thing, let alone America. Our kids today are graduating from school. They know more about Marilyn Monroe than they know about George Washington. I rented a thing. Oh, man. Lisa told me not to bring this up. I rented a documentary. It lasted in my DVD for 20 minutes. I had to throw it out because it was an absolute bunch of lies and contradictions on history. But people who don't know, they sit and listen, and then they assume it's true because somebody on the other end of the camera is saying it, so it must be true. This is the kind of society we live in. No, listen. It's important to God that you and I teach our children and remind even our own family members today, husbands and wives, do you remember what God has brought us through? For Lisa and I to sit down and say, you know what, after 30 years of marriage, do you remember when we got married, we literally, our best friends were Campbell's pork and beans. I'm not joking. Pork and beans. 3 weeks before we were going to get married, I lost an incredible job, incredibly well-paying job. Nobody should have been getting paid what I was being paid at my age. And I lost it 3 weeks before we were to get married. So what, you know, what would a mother-in-law say to a future son-in-law who just lost the well-paying job 3 weeks before he's marrying their daughter? I know what I would say. So I told Lisa's mom and dad, we gotta postpone the wedding because I just lost my job. And I thought, doesn't it make sense to you guys? Huh? You don't know how to answer me, do you? Made sense to me. I was 21 years old. Made sense to me. And I remember Lisa's mom, she came up and she goes, excuse me. I thought she was going to hit me, but she said, excuse me. Where's your faith? And I pulled out my wallet and I went, right here. I did. I'm not... Now, don't you share that with anybody. But that's exactly what I said. And the moment I said it, I knew the Holy Spirit said, you're in trouble. 3 weeks later, we were married. And we learned to live on pork and beans. I kid you not. Our refrigerator was a red and white igloo ice chest. Until we can afford a refrigerator. I kid you not. You know what? We look back, we're grateful for those days. We need to tell one another. We need to tell our kids about what God has done in our lives. It's very important. Why do I bring this up? Because it is absolutely essential that in our lives that we really begin to rethink the most important thing of all, and that is how do you get from here to heaven? It's not how cute you are and how rich you are and how nice you are. As wonderful as those things might be, that's not how you get there. It's very important that you understand that we need to become like little children again. Not childish. Jesus said childlike. If you and I do not become childlike, we're not going to make it. And you know what's beautiful about that? You can be a huge, big, robust man, or you could be a big, huge, robust woman, for all that matter. You could be the little petite, little frail guy, or a little petite, frail. It doesn't matter. Because that outward stuff is not what he's interested in. With all the robes and all of the effects of righteousness, of prestige, of knowledge, God is not impressed. God looks into the heart and he wants to know, do you have a heart like a little child? And you say, well, Pastor, I want to know if my heart is like a little child. Oh, it's easy to know. It's easy to know. When God says something, when you read his word, he, like a faithful, precious parent, has given you his word. And when you read it, you take it at face value. That's what he asks of us to do. And you say, man, you know, I don't know if I can do that. Well, then you don't have a heart of a child. Because remember when your kids were little? It's weird. I've said this before, but it bears repeating. When your kids were little, remember how amazing they were? First of all, it's amazing. They can't even talk yet. They can barely walk. But when you say to them, can you get me the newspaper? Can you get me the paper? How do they know that? But they go get it. And they bring it over and it's so cute. And then you pick them up and you set them on the wall. And you better be looking when you set them on the wall. You set them on the wall and you go, jump to daddy, jump. What do they do? Okay. And you do that over the years. When they're one, when they're two, when they're four, when they're five, when they're six, when they're seven, eight, 13. If you were to put your 13-year-old up, now look, all those years, 13 years, you've never dropped one kid, but you put your 13-year-old up on the wall and say, come on, Mike, jump. Come on. You can be the most buff pop in the whole street. Are they going to jump? They will not jump. What has happened to them? Honestly, think, what has happened to them? This is a real big deal. Because what has happened to them is what happens to you and I, and it can keep us out of heaven. There is something so nasty about our human nature that we grow up, and when we grow up, we get cynical, and we get doubtful, and we get critical, and we think that those are qualities. They're not qualities. Someone says, I love you. Yeah, right. What's wrong with us? You see, we've been burned, we've been dropped, or we've thought so. And God says, I love you so much that I sent my son to the cross to die there to pay all of mankind's sin, mankind's debt of sin that he has racked up. My son paid that debt at the cross. And I invite all people to come to me, God says, the Bible says. And people stand back and they fold their arms and they say, what's the deal? You know how we get like that? Religion does that to us. Which leads us to this consideration. It says in verse 15 here that he, as the infants were brought to him, that he what? He did what? That he might touch them. I love that. You know how I see this? This is absolutely anti-religion. We need to make an immediate U-turn about being an untouchable. Because as I mentioned, remember, you get the Pharisees there who you couldn't touch a Pharisee. You couldn't touch him. If you touched a Pharisee, you would defile him. How fragile. How fragile. You criticize the Pharisee or you touch his robe. Oh, I got to go wash and bathe. I've touched a Gentile sinner. How fragile. Listen, the Lord's not like that. Religion is untouchable. Relationship with God. Doesn't Jesus go around touching lepers who you're not supposed to touch? Doesn't Jesus go around to women caught in the act of adultery and say, I don't condemn you. Now go and live like that no more. You're free. That's awesome. God's desire is to have a relationship with you where he can touch you. And you know what I love about our faith? It is better the way that he does it than if he showed up today on a throne and we passed by and we touched him or he touched us. I love the way that it is right now. Do I want the Lord to come back? Of course. When I die and go see him, it's going to be fantastic. There's no doubt about that. But you know what? I love the fact that for every one of us, just think for the thousands of people that attend this church, think of this. He's accessible to every one of us instantly at all times because he's touchable. He doesn't say, stay back. Oh, don't touch me. I'm Jesus. Don't you know that? No, he says, come to me. Doesn't he? Isn't he awesome? I love it. The Bible says in Psalm 8, verse 2, that from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise. God loves kids, and he loves the heart of a kid. And that heart of a kid does not need to leave us. We need to nurture that. It's very important. Jesus Christ, he wanted to touch them. And listen, he never changes. The Bible says the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The danger is for us changing, right? Listen, I hope you remember this. As you and I grow older, we have to be careful that we don't grow up. Does that make sense? I mean, if you're honest with yourself, I mean, we all look older. And then on Sundays, we even look mature. But what's really going on the inside? I'm 51 years old. My wife will sometimes still say, why don't you grow up? I've tried that already. It doesn't work. I've tried. I look older. I look like I should. And this is the way our culture thinks. And then we translate that into our relationship with God. And we walk into the presence of the Lord and say, hello, Lord. How are you? And we sterilize the whole thing. If you think I'm building this up too much, I'll show you a real event. It's very cool. John chapter 20, mark it down. I love it. It's post-resurrection. Jesus has already been risen from the dead. John chapter 20, verse 25. It says, the other disciples therefore said to him, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And so Thomas said, listen to this. Poor guy, he's all growed up. Listen, this is how grown-ups talk. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. You say, well, Pastor Jack, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. But notice this. And after 8 days, the disciples were again together inside the house, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut. That's creepy. Jesus didn't go through the door. He just goes through the wall. Somehow, beep. Hey. He stood in the midst of them and he said, peace to you. I bet they needed that peace. Calm down. Peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. You know what happened to Thomas over just a short period of time? Grew up. God says, trust my word. Believe in me. Second thing is this. How do we get from here to heaven? Well, we need to adopt a new approach. We need to have a new approach in the way that we come to God. And Jesus called them and said to them, let the little children come to me. The word let is strong. Get out of the way. And this is convicting. And by the way, the word them, it's a very, very technical word. The word them here in the Greek, it's masculine. So the scholars are divided on two areas. Number one, the them must mean the disciples because they're all men and the word is masculine. But there's other scholars who say, no. It's in line with the Jewish culture. Check it out. Hey, men, listen up. Fathers specifically, listen up. They argue that the word them is masculine, and it means that as it is in Judaism, as it is in what should be Judeo-Christian practice, it's the men, fathers, bringing their kids to Jesus. That's awesome. And Jesus is saying, don't hinder them. Disciples, don't you put a stumbling block, trip up, or discourage any man from bringing his child to me. And think about our culture that mocks God, attacks God, does everything it can to rob the hope from a child's heart that they can be forgiven. That they don't have to carry guilt. That if they're ever in a jam, they can call upon God. That when they look at science, boy, you heard a good example of that last week, huh? When they look at science, they can say, thank you, God. Look, I don't know if God was in this or not. It doesn't matter. I don't need to know because I'm trying to nurture the heart of a child. While I was laying around sick, got up, went to the sink to get something, I don't know, probably NyQuil or heroin. I don't know what I was taking. And a bird flew into the window. Boom. Oh. And I go out there and it's all mangled out. And I pick that thing up and it's those little American goldfinch. You ever seen how pretty? They got a little black hat on their head and their yellow body. And I just said, Lord, this is sad. And I'm just asking you, Jesus, if you'd heal this little thing. I was feeling kind of sensitive because I was sick. And I'm thinking, this guy's hurting worse than I am. And its eyes are closed. I mean, this is dead. And it was so amazing because I just, Lord, you know, I know it's no big deal, but it's pretty cool if you heal this little bird. And I set the bird on the chair in the sunlight. It's just kind of perfect there, you know. And went and laid back down. About an hour later, I went back out there, and he's still there, just stuck. I'm convinced he's dead. Came back out there about another hour later, and that bird was sitting up there looking around and flew away. Now you say, well, that happens. He was in shock, and he got himself back together. He probably did. But my Bible says that a sparrow can't fall to the ground without my God knowing about it, and he cares. So you could say, Pastor, it's just the way things are. The way things are is because God's involved. Okay, so it depends on how you're going to choose to look at it. And I'd rather choose to look at it and approach it, seeing God in it. Especially now with what's going on in this world. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't caught on yet, the world's in a crisis. And this is the best it's going to be for a while. So we need to look to Him like never before.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? It's a look at a section in Luke's New Testament account, chapter 18, part of our teacher's verse by verse through this eyewitness narrative, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, we also want to let you in on what Pastor Jack and the church family are studying currently, 1 Corinthians. Now, to say that a study in 1 Corinthians is relevant is an understatement, especially if you know the issues that Paul had to deal with there. In fact, Pastor Jack would like to tell us more about this series that's now available on DVD. Pastor Jack?
Well, Mike, thank you. And the series that you're referring to is entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners. And no doubt by now I've got everyone's attention when I mention the word sex. And what has happened here at church is a study has gone forth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 regarding a problem that was existing at the church 2,000 years ago. And I would say that it's a problem that churches and Christians struggle with today. And this is the area of sexual immorality. And let me tell you, Paul pulled no punches when he delivered his critique and his assessment, and then finally his judgment on what to do with those who are in the church who are willfully committing sexual immorality. In Paul's address to the Corinthians, he even goes after the rebuking of and admonishing of the church leadership. Because what happened back in Corinth 2,000 years ago is that they had these sins going on in the church, but the leadership didn't do a thing about it. They didn't confront it. They didn't deal with it. And what happens is that they wound up labeling it graciousness and loving and tolerant. And all the while, they were destroying the witness of the church at Corinth. Boy, you know, if I remove the word Corinth, it sounds like some ministry that you might be thinking about today. Well, for all these reasons and more, we want to make available to you what we're studying right here at church, and that is the book of Corinthians and this three-part series of Saints, Sex, and Sinners. How should leadership deal with sexual immorality among the saints? What does the Bible say regarding church discipline? And how should all of us walk in the fear of the Lord when it comes to how to conduct ourselves in the house of God? And so I encourage all of you to get a copy of this series, and I think it will strengthen your walk. It will certainly generate conversation. And Mike, you can tell the people how they can obtain their own copy.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Jack. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You can call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 917-09. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.